This is Sabbath, February 24th, and today we're continuing with a study that we began last Sabbath. The name of that study was The Rest of the Story, and the word rest is underlined in bold, the rest of the story. Not the remaining part of the story, but the rest, the Sabbath of the story, the peace. The spiritual peace of that story. We are to be resting in Christ. And the rest of the story is the spiritual rest that we have in Christ. So this is part two of the rest of the story, and we want to start with Psalm 30, verse 3. O Yah, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. The pit is the grave. The pit is where we know not anything. The pit is separation from Yah. And those of us who have died to self, those of us who have put the old man in the grave, in that watery grave, we have the experience of having our soul brought up from the grave, having been kept alive, so that we would not need to go to the pit. Acts 2:24 is our next scripture. Speaking of Christ, here in Peter's sermon, he says, whom Yah hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. It was not possible that Christ would be held in the grave, and it's not possible for us to go to the pit as we are in Christ, because Christ cannot be held by the grave. Verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, King David, Shepherd David, Prophet David, in the Psalms, he speaks, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. This is our testimony. I see the Lord before my face. He is actually holding my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. My flesh shall rest in hope. We deserve to die. This body we have should be just destroyed. And the people that we were should have been destroyed because of sin. Sin kills. Sin separates. Sin destroys. And we deserved destruction. But Yah loved us and said, I would like to give you an opportunity to reverse your decision. I would like to give you an opportunity to avoid the destruction. I give you a second chance. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yah by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. There's a lot in that verse now. First of all, we were enemies of Yah. We had no desire for him. In fact, we were so separated from Yah and his principles, if Yahshua were on earth today, we would have sought to kill him, to get him out of our way, just as the religionists of his day sought to do. Because Yahshua's life presents a rebuke to sin. And those who are sinners want to destroy the rebuke instead of giving up the sin. So we were enemies in our past lives. But we were reconciled to Yah. How were we reconciled? We were reconciled by the death of his only begotten Son. Why? Because it's that death to self that reconciles us to Yah. We cannot be connected to Yah while having the old sinful self alive and well. It just won't work. So by the death of his only begotten Son, we have the picture of what happens to our old man. The scripture says in another place, Christ was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of Yah in him, in his resurrection. Let's go on further to Romans 6, one of the most powerful chapters in the New Testament for our message, Romans chapter 6. And we'll start with verse 1 and read through 11, or maybe further. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yah forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Yahshua the Messiah, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that newness of life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Let me tell you, we are walking in the likeness of his resurrection when we come forth from that water. And it's faith. We must believe that we're doing it. Because Satan will say to us, you're still in your body. You're still the same person. What's your name? You still have the same name. You have the same body. You have the same brain. You have the same thoughts. You have everything the same. How can you declare yourself to be a new creature? See, he argues through logical reasoning. You have to be careful when using logical reasoning in the life of Christ. Because in logical reasoning, you climb up to get on top of something. But in Christianity, you bow down to get on top of something. He that will save his life will lose it, and he that will lose his life for my sake shall gain it. Christianity is not logical in terms of some of these principles, which are very ironical. Spiritual principles seem to reverse human logic at times. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. When we came to Christ, when we surrendered ourselves to him, when we yielded the old man to death, that old body of sin was destroyed. That is the desire for sin. See, the desire, the lust for sin was destroyed. That old man was destroyed, and he does not come back from the dead because the dead know not anything. That henceforth we should not serve sin. In fact, we cannot serve sin when the old man is dead. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Why do churches leave that verse out? For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, it would have been a terrible travesty if when we were baptizing yesterday, we would have just held you underwater and not let you come up. Nature itself would cause you to jump out of the water because you need to grab a breath. And it would be murder for someone to try to hold you under the water and kill that life that's trying to spring forth. But that's what Satan would do, huh? But This is the way Satan does it. Satan does not hold you under the water and kill you there. What Satan does is he tries to talk you into believing that self did not really die there. He tries to bring you up out of the water with self so that self is still alive. And he accomplishes the same thing that it would accomplish if you were held under the water and not allowed to come back up. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Now listen, when the old man dies, he dies once. He doesn't come back and die again and come back and die again, no. I hear Adventists talk about, I die daily. I have to die daily. Well, okay, yes. I have to die to self daily. We die to sin, and we can use the term die to self as dying to sin daily. But self is dead. Self is dead and gone. Don't let self play into the picture. The spirit of prophecy tells us plainly, self does not figure into the religion of Christ. If self is involved in the religion, it's not the religion of Christ. Leave self in the grave. Now die to sin, yes. Die to temptation every day. A temptation will come to you to do wrong. Die to that thing. Remember, self is in the grave, and I am alive unto Christ, and I do not commit that. I do not commit wrong, because Christ does not commit wrong. Repentance is a resolute turning from sin. That's the definition. Remember that definition. Repentance is a resolute turning from sin. Don't you gradually turn from sin. Resolutely turn from sin. And the stronger you say no, the more powerful your decision and commitment is. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, and death hath no more dominion over us. Sin hath no more dominion over us. Death hath no more dominion. We have conquered by faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Remember, the smallest piece of faith casts those mountains of trouble into the sea. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto Yah. We're talking about us here. Christ's life, Christ's death, and his resurrection is a template for us to follow. It shows us our lives. It shows us what we are and who we are. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Yah through Yahshua Christ our Lord. It's simple. Let's encourage the Christians out there to take hold of this and apply these principles. Let not sin, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That's that body of sin, the body of flesh, which is still sinful flesh. Let not sin reign in that body. Let not that body have power over your spirit, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, or desires thereof. Neither yield ye yourselves members as instruments or weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Yah as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto Yah. For sin shall not have dominion over you. What a promise! Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now our Christian friends start to err here because they say, see, you don't have to keep the law. You're under grace. What this is saying, you're not under the penalty of the law anymore. You're under grace. And when you're under grace, you now have the freedom to keep the law properly. If I get stopped in a speeding ticket and I go before the judge and I say, judge, please have mercy upon me. I know I'm guilty. I deserve the full punishment of the law. But I'm asking for mercy. I'm asking for grace. And he says, okay, I'll extend grace to you, but don't ever speed again. That's the contingency. I'm not under the law now. The law has released me. I was guilty under the law. But the law released me and said, now you're under grace. Don't break the law anymore. It's clear to me. Makes perfect sense to me. But if I go out and break that law again, I come under the law, and I come under the penalty, and I come under the hostility of that law then, because once given grace and then doing despite to that grace, oh, that's willful now. That's saying, I don't care about that grace that you gave me. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's like spitting in the face of one who cares for you. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the wages of sin is death. Separation from our Father in heaven. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Yah forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But Yah be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart and from a doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Hallelujah! We'll stop it right there. Let's go to Romans 8. Or stop in Romans 6, go to Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yahshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. When you came forth from your watery grave, you are quickened, you are made alive by the Spirit of Yah. His life is in you. His life is a righteous life. His life is a sinless life. His life is a selfless life. His life is a servant, a serving life. Not a self-serving, but a serving of others. He gave us that gift of his Holy Spirit. Remembering that the old man is dead. He's in the grave. He knows not anything. He cannot come back. He cannot come to life. And we must keep him there by faith. We must believe the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When you are sorely tempted to give in to this sinful flesh now, we still have this sinful flesh. When you're sorely tempted to give in to this sinful flesh, remember the rest of the story. Rest in Christ. Don't get shook, because self is dead. And Christ lives in you. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened, or you hath he given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, when we were walking around as enemies of Yah, we were already dead. Remember when Christ said, let the dead bury the dead? Let me ask you something. If you had a relative that was close to you, and yet not in tune with Yah, say an evil person, dead in trespasses and sins. And let's say they died the physical death. They died without Christ. They died without the Holy Spirit having quickened them. Would you not still have an interest in going to be at their funeral? Or perhaps you might want to be a part of arranging their funeral services? And what if I said to you, you don't have time for the dead, bury the dead. Oh, you would think I was very insensitive. And yet Christ said that. If you want to go bury the dead, you don't have time for what I'm talking about. Let us not be carnal in our understandings. I'm not saying that you should not be involved in funeral services and so forth. But if Yah has an important thing for you to do, what if they were going to have their funeral during our worship service? It might be a test for you. Let the dead bury the dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins too, but ye have been quickened by the Spirit. Come alive. Open your eyes to spiritual things. Set your heart on those things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of Yah. Don't let this planet, don't let the things of this earth distract you and take your eyes away from eternal things. Be careful. Don't let the enemy trick you. Turn back to Acts 26:8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that Yah should raise the dead? Why should it be a puzzling concept that Yah would raise the dead? Go into the waters of baptism. Hold your breath. Stay under there as long as you can. Eventually you will come up from that water. Just as natural it is for you to come up out of that water, it's just as natural as it is for Yah to raise the dead. Because Yah is life. And He stimulates and creates life. And He wants us to live. I heard it said one time, might have been General Patton or someone, he says, I'm not looking for anybody to die for my country. I want some men that will live for my country. I'm paraphrasing. It may be an honorable thing to die for Yah, but let's live for Him. The Bible says it's the life of Christ that saves us. We were reconciled by His death, but by His life shall we be saved. It's by His life in us, you see, living in us, that saves us. Now, in this picture or this drawing, we have the old man buried in the watery grave. We have the new man, having been resurrected, standing on the rock, Christ, living by faith. Now, if this man were to go back to his sins, it would be a mystery of iniquity. The Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity. It's unexplainable except in this sense. Either one of two things. Either this man is really impersonating, he's an imposter, he's really this man putting on a show, and self never did die here. There was a live person buried, and they just dipped under the water and came back up and changed the expression on their face. Or there would be a doctrine of devils, because we know that if a loved one dies, they're gone. They don't come back. But people have told me that their long-gone aunt or uncle or grandpa or grandma came back and visited them and appeared to them. Now, who was it that appeared? It was a demon. It was one of Satan's angels as an imposter. But who knew Grandma better than those demonic angels? They study people. They know us very well. They know our emotions. They know our every act. They know our past. They know our weaknesses. And they know exactly where to come at us. But let me tell you, Christ will not let them get to us. He will only let them touch us in places that we need to be touched. If you have a strong temptation to do something, Yah has to give permission for that temptation. Now, we're not tempted by Yah, but He allows the temptation for our good. And why? Because if we are tempted in an area, we know that's an area we need to bolster and strengthen. We need to put up a wall there. If drinking beer is a weakness for this sinful flesh, do I go hang out in the bar? Or do I go to the grocery store and walk by the Budweiser counter? It doesn't make sense. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. If you have a tendency to be addicted to chocolate, are you going to go out through the grocery store where they sell the chocolate? It'd be foolish to do so. And you might say, well, every counter I go to, they have chocolate. Might be well to send somebody to the store for you. Make no provision for the flesh. Well, by faith, we're strong enough to walk right past the chocolate anyway. Some people will buy the chocolate and take it home and say, well, I'll just sit it there and I'll show people how strong I am. I've heard people who were quit smoking, you know, they want to carry a pack of cigarettes around with them so that they can prove how strong they are. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. In other words, don't give yourself opportunity. Don't give Satan a chance to catch you in a weak moment. Watch and pray, Yahshua says. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Well, there is a doctrine of devils, and let's look so that we can be aware of that doctrine. And it's in, we'll start in Isaiah 8. And we'll finish up with this section. Isaiah 8 and verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep or whisper and that mutter, should not a people seek unto Yah for the living to the dead? In other words, why would we go seek for information from any source other than Yah? Why would we seek for power anywhere but from Yah? Well, there are demons that seek to teach us and dominate us and control us. Let's go over to 2 Timothy 4:3. 2 Timothy 4:3 and verse 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, that time has certainly come. Those that profess Christ do not endure sound doctrine today, but after their own desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables or fiction. We see this very thing today. People hire ministers that will entertain them. Now, there are good ministers out there. By Yah's grace, we have a few left. But you know, those ministers are getting fewer and fewer, and the people really are the ones that get rid of them. A good pastor will eventually get sent down the road. Because generally the people want to hear something of a flavor that will secure them in their sins. Have you ever heard a statement, well, sister, it's okay. It's okay. God knows you're okay. He knows you're weak. It'll be okay. Another pastor might say, sister, in your weakness, you are made strong. You are born again. You have already overcome the evil one. Do not succumb to the weakness. Grab a hold of the strength. You are more than conqueror through Christ, who quickened your mortal body and brought you forth from the grave. There's a slight difference or maybe a subtle difference, but there's a large difference in the outcome of it. Just to sympathize or to indulge a person in their weakness will not help them resurrect from their trial. We must exhort them and admonish them, entreat them, and invite them to step up on the higher plane. For if they do not step up, what will they do? They will sink down. It was said in the spirit of prophecy, the congregation will not rise any higher than the leaders. By Yah's grace, I intend to hold a high standard for the people. By Yah's grace, I intend to live a high standard for the people. Not that I want them to look to me, but they must see an example that they can say, I know Yah does this because I've seen it. I've read about it. I know Yahshua did it. But people want to see it in us. People want to see the fruit of it in us. Yeah, I've read those stories in the Bible. Yeah, those are good stories. And maybe they did happen. But I don't see it happen today. And thus we have people unchurched because of the hypocrites. I was once told by a man, asked the question by a man, if you're letting a hypocrite stand between you and God, who's closer to God? You are the hypocrite. And yet people do that. They let the hypocrite stand between them and God. Let us not do that. Let us shine. I like that verse that our brother read. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. It's the only way we're going to win them today, folks. They are so steeped in tradition. They are so drunk on the wine of Babylon. They are so discouraged and deceived by every wind of doctrine and doctrines of devils. They must see the truth lived out in our lives. And they must say, hey, there's hope. That person's different. They have something special. They really do what they say. Maybe this Bible is really real. Maybe there is truth here. If we can just get them there, oh, we can invite them. Yes, it's true. It's real. Come. Come join us at the table. Let's go further. 1 Timothy 4:1, and we're almost finished. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Some will say, this man over here on the rock will sometimes fall into sin. In light of what we've been studying from the scripture, is this man going to fall into sin? No, he's not. Because he's quickened by the Spirit of Yah. He cannot sin willfully. He would rather die. He'd rather go back under that water and stay under that water and never come up from that water again. Strangle, choke, die right there in the water than to commit sin. That's what it means to hate sin with a perfect hatred now. For you to commit sin, you would have to go back into that water, go under the water where you were baptized and stay there and never come up again. But the churches will tell you, sometimes now, sometimes this born-again Christian is going to sin because they're weak. That's a doctrine of devils, and I cast it into the deepest sea. Yes, it is. It's in the Adventist Church, and that is an abomination because the Adventist Church was supposed to be the Israel of our day. And we must rebuke that. We must speak against it and invite the people to join us in victory. We have to be careful how we rebuke that. We don't want to bring condemnation on the people. We want to invite them to get out of that doctrine into the truth, where there's freedom, where there's happiness, where there's health, mental health, spiritual health, and physical health. Yah has given that to us for these last days. Ephesians 4 now. Ephesians 4, 17. Oh, and before we read this, let me say this. If I were to agree with that doctrine, if I were to say, yes, this born-again Christian over here, sometimes, now, sometimes we'll be weak and we'll fall back into sin, what would that do to you? Yahshua said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. What would that do to you? That would set a seed in your mind. That would set a seed in your heart, and Satan would devise a situation where you would be brought to a very difficult decision, and then he would stimulate your mind with that statement from Pastor Chick that said, sometimes Christians do sin, and so he'll forgive you, and you would just fall right in, and then you would have the weight of guilt come upon you, and you'd say, what have I done? Because the Holy Spirit would say, that's not me. You're not acting under the power of Yah. What have you done? And you would do as Adam and Eve, and you would go hide from Yah. Oh, you would be terribly... Well, let's don't even carry that on, because that's not true. That's the doctrine of devils. So let us not ever countenance that thought. I cannot sin one time and be fit for heaven. It's against my nature now. I have a new nature. I have a new life. I'm resurrected in the power of Christ. I have a new being. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm born again. It's a part of this body, yes. This body seeks after the feelings of sin. This body gravitates toward sin. But the spirit that lives within has dominion over this body. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read now. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Yah through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Listen to these words carefully. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, their ignorance has been such, and their blindness has been such, they've been past feeling. They've even been past feeling the wrong. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. No, you have not learned that. If you've been in this message, you have not learned that. If so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Yahshua, that ye put off concerning the former life or conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. See, Paul is appealing to these Ephesians to put off the old man. They didn't understand the death of self properly. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after Yah is created in righteousness and true holiness. Are we not speaking the message Paul gave to the Corinthians, the Ephesians, the Colossians, the Galatians? Are we not giving that message? I think so. I know so. 1 Corinthians 10:21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You cannot serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other, or you'll love this one and hate the other one. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot have two spirits living within you. You cannot have a demon spirit living within you and Yah's spirit living within you. You cannot do it. It won't happen. If you have Yah's spirit living within you, you cannot sin. If you have a demon living within you, you cannot do righteousness. Oh, you might do some nice things. You might cast out demons. You might heal the sick. You might do some good works. But it's not righteousness. You know why? Anything that looks good doesn't have a wrong motive is still evil. Oh, that's a hard saying, isn't it? It's a hard saying, but it's the truth. Every righteous act is made from a righteous motive. And when Yahshua lives in the heart, every motive is pure. Thank Yah for that. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in these things that we have been teaching you. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed to what we're saying here today. Put it in your heart. Wear it around your neck. Put it on your forehead. Continue in these things, and you will both save yourself and those within the sphere of your influence. That's our only hope. One last scripture. Micah 7:19. Old Testament, Micah. Let's start with verse 18. I like that one. Who is like Yah? Or who is a God like unto Yah that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Praise Yah that we have a merciful Father who subdues our sins, saves us from them, casts them into the sea, and saves us for eternity. Let us carry on. Let us go forward. Let us go back to our homes. Let us go back to our jobs. Let us go forward in the resurrection power of Yahshua. And let us finish the work that has been presented for us to finish. Would you join me with raised hand today and say, I'm going to do it by the power of Yah. I'm going to continue in these things that we've been taught. And we're going to help those out there to be released from the deceptions of Babylon. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh, our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this special unction of your Spirit, this special outpouring of blessing. What a revival it has been. As we have seen before our eyes, souls plucked from the fire. And as we all know and understand that we are to be baptized with fire yet, we are of good courage, knowing that you are our Father, a faithful Father, holding our right hand, as it were, leading us through the abyss on this planet, the sinful abyss. Yes, we love it here, really. You have created a beautiful world. And we love the fellowship with like believers. And yet Babylon exists here. And as we walk through the streets of Babylon, our hearts are heavy. And we sigh and cry over the abominations done in the churches. And were it not for you and your Spirit and the ministry of angels, we could not bear up under the load. And in our human weakness, it would be more than we could bear. But we thank you, Father, that we have partaken of the divine nature. We have reached up and gotten the green cord, the faith of Yahshua, and we're holding on for dear life. And we shall not go to the pit. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for the hands that are raised
with conviction to press on and go forward, not looking back to that dark world, but looking on to heaven, where Yahshua sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Thank you for blessing us with your presence and with the power of your might. In Yahshua's name, amen.
For more information, you may call the toll-free number at 1-888-284-2487. May Yah's inspiration be eternally yours as you seek His wisdom, grace, and understanding. Copy freely and distribute to your friends and family.